Big H y Tribal C.
Yo, what's good? My peoples, we back. It's your boy, Silverback Chronicles Podcast. It's your boy, Big H. I got my brother, Dre. What's good?
Chilling, brother.
Everything good?
Life is amazing.
Always.
Hey, that beat was hard, though, real quick.
You know, that's all Triple C.
Yo, that sounds like some RJ Payne shit right there.
Right.
But yeah, what's up with you?
I'm living. You know I can't complain.
I like the white tee with the high, with the ooh, ah.
Simple but always sexy.
Holla.
No, man.
No, I like that t-shirt.
Yeah, the t-shirt's dope, too.
Yeah, you gotta get you one.
I know.
Yeah.
Gotta get you one. Hat and everything. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our special guest. We're gonna let you know who that is momentarily.
Yeah, she was supposed to surprise you.
You know, we got our sis in the building.
Big
finally.
Sis. Big sis.
Word. Triple C.
Yo.
What's good, baby?
Maintaining, chilling, bro.
All day, every day. All right, folks, let's get into it real quick. This episode 94, you heard? 94. Yeah. We not playing.
On the road to 100.
On the road to 100. Give a shout out real quick to Berman and Darby, the law firm. Berman and Darby, BERMANDARBY. My brother Charlie Schultz, he can be reached at 410-769-5400. 410-769-5400. Listen, you get hurt at work or a personal injury, he'll take care of you. He's the man. He's the plug. Don't forget, Stopbox USA, discount code all caps, Silverback Podcast. All caps, Silverback Podcast, get you 20% off. Shout out to the world. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for keep tuning in because we're working hard. And we do this for you. We the real ones, you heard? Anything else, Dre?
You know what I mean? Shout out to everybody just grinding. Stay safe.
All day.
It's a long time ago, we predicted this. We say, yo, it's getting real spooky outside.
Yeah.
And look what's happening. Things are just out of control. Please.
It's crazy.
I mean, people just, the violence in every city is just out of control. Please stay safe, everybody.
Absolutely.
And while you're doing nothing, you might as well just stop by and type in SilverbackChronicles.com on your phone.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying, if you ain't doing that,
get your latest merch.
I'm saying.
T-shirts, hats, hoodies. You know, the goodies.
The goodies.
But yo, with no further ado, we're about to get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, we got our sister in the building, the big sis. She put us on. She got over 15 years on the job. She's a supervisor. She's a wealth of knowledge. First and foremost is family with her. If she love you, she take care of you, she'll rock with you all day, every day.
And if she don't?
If she don't, she gonna let you know she don't fuck with you.
Absolutely.
But you know she love you when she curse you out.
Yeah.
That's when you know you good in her book. Because she curse you out, she'll ride with you forever. It could be in the middle of the night and I'm like, Brown, she'll come right through. Don't matter what.
Yep.
And that's love. Always will be. And I love her for that. But with no further ado, our sister, Miss Yolanda Brown's in the building.
Hey, hey.
What's up, sis?
Hey, what's up?
How you feeling?
I'm doing good.
You're looking good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that color.
I know, right?
Yeah.
She stay with something.
Mocha, son.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know. After the last 2 years, I had to switch it up.
I know that's right.
Had to switch it up.
Okay. I'm mad at that.
No. So tell the wonderful world, where you from, born and raised?
Born and raised Baltimore City. I grew up in two areas because my mom, of course, lived in the Northeast and still do. My dad was in Eastern, North Avenue and Greenmount. So I say I'm North Avenue and Greenmount, but I also say I'm the Northeast. But back when I was growing up, Northeast was the country club. Now, it's Shoot 'em Up Gallery. But I'm from both of them. But yeah, Northeast and Greenmount, you know, made me the roughneck I am.
Absolutely. Gotta be. So what did it for you with policing? Why policing for you?
So, I have a retired uncle that was police, and my godfather was police. And ever since I was a little girl, I always said I wanted to be a police officer. But I had kids young, so I waited till my oldest got into high school, and I went to become a police officer. So I always wanted to be the police. It was either two things, police or nurse.
One of the two.
So.
How was life growing up in the city?
It was wonderful back then. It was wonderful. You know, I got some age on them, 48, so.
Nice.
You know, back then, like I said, No Feast was the country club, so it was wonderful. We was able to go outside, play, ain't had to worry about no bullets flying past us. Uh-huh. It's a little different now. I mean, even when I was down my dad's house, I was still able to go outside and play. It was North Avenue and Greenmount, so you might have had a bullet flying past you, but you was able to go outside and play. But it was great. I mean, I miss my childhood. So.
That's dope.
But, you know, I raised three kids in the city, and they all turned out successful.
So. Absolutely. They're doing their thing.
Absolutely.
College and being professionals and their respective careers.
Absolutely.
That's because they were scared of you, though.
Absolutely. I ain't had no qualms.
No.
I come up your school and beat you up and wait for your teacher to say something and beat them up too.
So, it didn't matter.
It ain't matter. Anybody can got these paws.
Right.
Mm. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So, 15 years. What was life like as a patrol officer in the streets when you first got hired?
When I first got hired, it was a little different. It was easier. Well, I ain't gonna say too much. It was easier. I mean, of course, you still had the people who didn't want to listen to you or tried you or whatever. But I always maintained that if you show people respect, you're gonna get respect. Even when they're yelling at you, if you look at them and say, "Why are you yelling? I ain't yelling at you. Why are you yelling?" Sometimes that calms them down. Uh-huh. It's a little different now working the street because you have a younger generation coming up and they don't have no respect for their parents, so they're not going to have no respect for you. But you still have to, I'm going to say, handle them with kid gloves because in this day and age in policing, you just can't grab somebody up. So you still got to kind of be gentle with them. And then you have to know when to switch on the stern voice of, look, okay, like, enough is enough. So when I was in patrol as an officer, it was way different. And also, your partners made it different, too, because it was like you was family.
Right.
So y'all would have fun together, but you knew at the end of the day, everybody was going home because we had each other back. Now it's like this younger generation coming in is for self. They're all about self, and they really don't care about their side partner too much. You still have a couple that care about their side partner, but in the whole, it's just like they all about self, and they just, oh, it's all about me, and I don't care. So I think we need to get back to caring about each other, which will make it fun coming to work.
Right.
And at this day and age, the younger generation just don't get that.
They're all about TikTok and all this other nonsense.
Yeah. Want to be TikTok and dancing. Go sit down somewhere.
How about that? And you're on patrol TikTok.
Go learn how to write a report.
There you go.
And then come holler at me on some TikTok.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, go sit down. Get off of TikTok. Yes. TikTok your ass.
TikTok
your ass and go sit down somewhere.
Right.
Go handle a call and stop holding out on calls because you want to be TikTok and dance.
I miss you so much. I love it.
Oh my God. That burns.
It's true though.
That gets on my nerves. And people send me videos like, look at this, look at them TikTok. And I'll be like, look at this shit.
You ever caught, and you don't have to say anything, but you ever caught one of your officers TikToking?
No, I wish I have. They'd have been TikTok embarrassed, but I have pulled officers up like, yeah, what are you TikToking for?
Yeah.
But that's their generation.
I know.
I can't get into that TikTok.
Yeah.
So, you know, I look at my son, he 26. So, you know, he do the Snapchat. Mm-hmm. Well, he don't know more because he outgrew it. But, you know, he used to do the Snapchat. Like, so anybody know me know I love music.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever rode in a patrol car with me, you know I had music blast and I'd be in my little seat. Lord, let some salt and pepper come on. I'd be
right.
For days. I'd be getting it in. So I'd be in a car doing that. He'd videotape me and then post it. Look at her. She thinks she young. I am young.
Mm-hmm.
But ain't going on no TikToking. Right. No, I'm not doing all that. No, I'm too grown for that. I'm not TikTok.
Yeah, why don't you go do a couple business checks?
Right. Why don't you go out here and meet the little kids that's running around buying my ice cream that? Like we used to. Absolutely. The ice cream truck come. Come on, kids, get this ice cream. Right. And the parents looking like, why they buying my kids ice cream? Because we love your kids.
Right. And it ain't like you taking initiative to buy the shit.
Right.
How about that?
But that damn TikTok, oh my God.
Yeah, TikTok, it makes me cringy.
It's at an all-time high now. It's really alarming. I'm waiting for a GO to come out.
I believe it's probably coming.
Right.
Oh, we got a...
There is a social media GO.
There is a social media GO, but it doesn't specifically say TikTok. Yeah. But I'm quite sure they're going to come out with one because you keep having officers.
Doing dumb shit.
Our namesake, NED, right. TikToking.
Right. Insane.
It's like, for me, you know, it's like, yo, I'm going to do this TikTok. The whole block is watching you do this dumbass TikTok. And you know on the block there's guns out there. Well, like, you're not paying attention.
Exactly. Because you want to be famous for what? How long is a TikTok? 5, 10 seconds, 15?
About that.
Yeah. You want to be famous? I can make you famous. Videotape me cussing you out. I can make you famous now.
Right.
Set your world on fire. TikTok that.
Give you a reason to come back to work.
Right. So.
But if you're off duty, TikTok all you want.
No, they TikTok in uniform.
I know.
That's right. Crazy. That's my thing. Like, yo, if something happens and you sitting there TikToking and the incident pops off.
And they hear it in the background.
They hear it in the background.
Yeah. It's documented. Done. It's done. Yeah.
You're done.
Okay. Come on, give me that badge and gun. Get up out of here.
You know, we just said a lot of officers now, you know, they take the job for all the wrong reasons.
A lot of them take it for a paycheck. I took the job because, of course, I wanted to be a police officer. And I always felt like with my story and my background, I can talk to younger females to try to make them realize you're going down the wrong path. And if you do go down that path, you can always come back. I ain't always been perfect. Like I said, I had my kids young. I had my first child at 16.
Mm. How was that like?
It was rough, but I had a mother who said, I ain't lay down and make her with you. You got to take care of her. I ain't babysitting. You going to school, you going to work. That's the only reason I'm keeping her. Besides that, you on your own. Like, you a mother, and that's what you had to do. And then I had my second daughter when I was 18, turned 19, and my son when I was 21. So I had my kids young. So me and my kids grew up together. So they made me grow up, and they matured me. But they also made me realize that the path I was going down was not a good one. Because I was wild. I ran the streets. I was wild. Until my mother finally said, nah, you got to go with your dad. You getting out of hand. Me and my father, I'm a daddy's girl. But you know, daddy's with their girls. They be on them. So my father, you know, was like, I'm going to shoot it straight from the hip. I'm a man and I'm going to tell you what it is. And you take it at that. So I felt like once I became a police officer, I can talk to young girls. There's a lot of young girls out here who want the attention, who's out here just, they more developed than what I was when I was growing up. Because I look at some of them like, you bigger than me, like Jesus. Right. So they use their body to try to get attention from guys. And I try to show them that's not the way. You can get attention from a man using your brains. So you don't have to do it. And I always felt like my story. And I just, you know, I felt like I wanted to help people. But a lot of people look at it like a paycheck. Don't get me wrong. I love my paycheck now.
Me too.
Don't get me wrong. Absolutely. I love my paycheck. My paycheck then afforded me a nice lifestyle right now.
Absolutely.
So,
but we put the work in.
Yeah, I do work.
That work is there.
Yep. Right. So...
What made you want to get involved with, you know, becoming a leader and supervising people?
When you look at some of the supervisors you had and you say, if they can do it, I know I can do it.
Right.
I've had some very good supervisors and I've had some pretty bad ones. And I've learned from all of them. And I always say that every supervisor I ever had, I've learned from. I've learned something from them.
Right.
Rather, it was good, bad, or indifferent. I learned something. Rather, I'm a mirror them, but not do exactly what they do, or I'm not going to do what they did. So I felt like I could be a supervisor. I can lead people. You know, people listen to me when I talk because they know she knows what she's talking about, so she can't be wrong. And if I don't know, I tell somebody in a minute. I don't know, but give me a minute. I'm going to find out and I'll call you right back. And yeah. I do the research, and a lot of supervisors don't do that.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, when I took the sergeant exam, I didn't take it to become a sergeant. I just took it because everybody else in my squad was taking it. And they was like, come on, take it with me. I started off studying with them, but I always wanted to be in DDU. So mm-hmm. I had got put back in DDU, so I stopped studying.
Mm-hmm.
But I had signed up to take the test, so I said, well, let me go take the test. And what happened? I got promoted.
And mm-hmm. for the world that don't know, DDU is what?
District Detective Unit.
There we go.
So
I learned, it's true what you say, I learned from one sergeant how not to be a bitch.
So,
he's a big bitch. Shout out to you, my guy.
Oh boy.
I learned from a sergeant that you gotta have some balls when addressing your subordinates.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let them run over top of you. Because he was a bitch.
Hello.
He's now the lieutenant.
Uh-oh.
He's still a bitch.
It's the bitch in the white shirt.
That's it.
I've learned from a major who taught me that snapping off and being nasty to everybody, it's a better way to do it. So he like kind of calmed me down and listen, it's a better way. Cause anybody know me know I'm quick. I pop off on you in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quick. Cause my grandma always say what you gotta say and keep it moving. Once you say it, it's over with. And that's the stance I've always taken my whole life. But he made me realize, no, it's a better way you do stuff. So I took that from him, and I always looked at him as a good leader. He's up and right now, so I look at him as a good leader. And then I have another lieutenant who, she is a sweetheart, and she's stern, but she is sweetheart, and she'll give you the world. So I've learned different stuff from different supervisors.
Do you think leadership reflects your soldiers?
Yes, absolutely. Because everybody say I'm mean or I'm a bitch or I fuss and I cuss. But like you said, if I cuss you out, you know I love you.
Absolutely.
And I'm only cussing you out because I want you to think about what you're doing.
Right.
And you not listening to me when I'm talking to you. So I have people that, prime example, y'all was my brothers in patrol.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm quite sure if it came down to it and I said, y'all, can y'all come work for me?
Absolutely.
Y'all won't come work for me because y'all know.
Hands down.
Sarge going to take care of us. We right. good. She out there with us.
Absolutely.
And I'm that supervisor. I'm not going to have you do nothing that I wouldn't do. So if I tell you you need to do something, I'm going to go out there and do it. Come on, we going to go do this together.
Right.
So I think that supervisors who show their squad mates or unit or whoever that they going to work with them, they work for them because they know she got out back 100% or he got out back. And that's my whole thing. I always show my squad that I have their back. And I'm big on showing your subordinates that they are appreciated. A lot of us are not walk around and we feel like we're not appreciated in the department. And I'm big on that. I'm big on birthdays. You come to work, you might have cake sitting on the desk for you. Happy birthday. And you'd be looking like, yeah, you know it was my birthday. I'm making my point to find out stuff about my school.
That's awesome.
Kids stuff. You want me to come? I got to bring my grandkids.
Right.
So I'm just, you know, I'm big on showing people that they appreciate it. And I think when you show people that they're appreciated and you work with them, they'll work for you.
It goes a long way.
Yeah.
Definitely does. It gives them a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
You know, and then another reason to come to work also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I miss that family environment because we had that in our squad.
Yes, we did.
And I think that's missing a lot. nowadays. And I haven't been in the streets in a while, but, you know, when I see it, I'm like, you know, how's the camaraderie? And everybody's like, no, they just selfish. They, you know, they don't talk to us. They do their own thing. I'm like, damn.
And, you know, it's funny because, remember, I was the only female for a long time.
Yeah.
So I was like...
Squad full of hard legs.
I was like the sister, the mother, the disciplinary person. Yeah. And so, you know, to look at our squad and look at where everybody is now, to know that at the drop of a dime, we all come together.
Yeah.
A prime example, Silverback.
You know that.
He brought us all back together. Mm-hmm. It was tragic, but he brought us all back together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just to know that we all have each other back, and at the drop of a dime, if somebody need, somebody coming.
Right. Hands down.
So, yeah.
The cavalry is coming.
Absolutely.
I remember back then, like, I think you and Dosin would be like, yeah, let's stay for another shift and work overtime. Yeah. Everybody would stay.
Yes.
The whole squad.
Yes, yes. Yes, because that's what we did.
None of that. Oh, I'm gonna get home and play PlayStation.
No.
We all gonna rock.
Oh, I'm 318.
Right.
I'm too tired to work. Too tired.
We out here getting it.
Let's get this money here. This shit crazy.
One stay, we all stay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's how it definitely
was. We ain't go home. We ain't go home.
If one went to go work out, we all went worked out.
Yeah.
That was dope.
You know, it's crazy, but that's just the bond that we had. Like, we always took care of each other.
Yeah, we did.
We always went to each other's family events, gatherings, mm-hmm. and it was crazy.
So much fun.
And we was built off of that. You know, that was the foundation of policing to us.
Even when we had other females that came into the squad, PH, yeah. She's now gone.
Yeah.
But even her, they came to me and was like, Brown, talk to her. You like a mother figure to everybody. She listen to you.
Uh-huh.
Well, I tried.
You tried?
I tried.
I mean, we did go out a couple times. She came out a couple times.
Yeah, she did.
We did the crab thing,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, she did. But it was just, you know, alcohol was more important.
Seriously.
Yeah. So.
And also, when she left us, she started hanging out with, you know, different people and...
Yeah.
You know, they weren't tight like us. They were like, oh, yeah, go ahead, drive home.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, they allowed that behavior she was doing.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, we wouldn't have that.
Yeah, we wasn't having it at all. We wasn't having it.
So it made it easier for her to
go over there.
You know, enjoy the other side.
Yeah, I ain't got to listen to them. Right. I'm going to go over there. Yeah. They ain't going to say nothing. But then, they going to be on me, and I got to behave.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
We want you to do the right thing.
Exactly.
Right. Instead of be sloppy like the lifestyle you're
living. We still have fun. We always have fun.
Yeah.
But we always, yo, chill.
We hold each other accountable.
But we was a family, and absolutely. We still are a family. Like, you know, we may not talk to each other every day, but when we see each other, we just, it's hugs.
Always
hugs.
Love,
it's hugs.
Fuck over. Here's a hug.
Yes.
You know what I'm
And it's so funny because in my memories matter of fact, 2 days ago, it popped up the message you put on Facebook to me when I was getting ready to get promoted.
Yeah.
And I said, look at this right here. I said, look at this. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, they was really happy.
It's funny, because I saw it on Facebook. I said, wow, what are the memories?
Yeah.
It's crazy. But Sarge, you did it right because when you got promoted, like how much time did you have on?
Like 5, 7 years. 7.
You got promoted when you was...
Wait a minute. No.
Ah,
5.
No way.
5. 5?
When you got promoted, you only had 5 years on?
Wait a minute. Was it 5?
Shit. No.
I think so.
How much time you got on now?
She got 15. So it must have been like 6 years.
Yeah, 6 years. So 6 years.
6 years on.
6 years. Yeah. 6 years.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But I tell everybody when they come on, don't jump out and get promoted at 3 years. You don't know nothing. Stay. Mm-hmm. And stay in. I tell them, don't even try to go to a unit. Stay in patrol.
Yep.
And get the knowledge and then go to the unions. But they so quick, they want to come out. They want to go to these drug unions. They want to go to DDU. And I'm not knocking nobody. Like I said, I wanted to go to DDU. But you got to first know how to write a simple report in patrol before you can go there. You go to DDU and you can't even do... Right.
Right.
You can't even write a B&E.
You can't even access Lotus notes and put proper notes in there, but you want to go to one of these units. Right. And then when you get there, you act like you the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Your shit still stink.
Right.
Right.
Like, it still stink.
Or like, I'm in the middle of a shooting and I got a warrant that needs to be written. And you're like,
right.
How you do that?
Right. Like,
what? I got a gun in this house right now that I gotta have a search warrant. You know how there's patrols holding the back for, they've been there for 6-7 hours.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're like, talking about you don't know how to, why are you here?
Exactly.
You gotta go back and learn.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's they quick to get out there and wanna go to these units. But the way the department is moving with this younger generation, they quick to put them in these units. No, you're doing them a disservice.
It's doing the whole department a disservice.
Right. Because we're not closing nothing because they don't know what they're doing. So if it goes leave to them trial, in patrol. It's a hot mess.
Yeah.
Leave them in patrol. But that's why I'm kind of glad I'm up at quartermaster because I deal with the trainees when they come up there to get their equipment. Mm-hmm. Like we had a class come up there and get their stuff the other day, and they asked me and they was like, what's some advice you can give us as a supervisor? And I said, take your time and learn patrol. Learn how to write a good report.
Hold on. They're just getting hired and they're asking you about...
No, they in academy. They was up there getting their rain gear and stuff. I mean, their ride gear.
So they in the academy, but they're asking you on how to be a supervisor?
No, they asking me as a supervisor. Oh, what's from your standpoint. Yes, what's some good advice to give them.
Okay.
And I told them, take your time and patrol. Learn how to investigate a proper situation and write a proper report before you want to jump out here and go to a drug unit or a DDU or homicide or robberies or wherever. Because I heard some of them saying, I just won't go to drug. Everybody think being in a drug unit is the cream of the crop, and it's really not.
Nope.
It's really not.
It's just fun, but it's not. Yeah, it's fun.
I tell anybody, you better look at GTTF and sit back. You better cut it out. Wanting to go there. Stop it. Be careful what you wish for.
Hell yeah.
Be careful what you wish for. So.
Shit, I remember, you know, writing reports. Write reports. And they put that red ink through it. You got to write it all over again. Stop playing. Don't turn this into me.
Yo, when I got to the Northeast, at the time he was Sergeant DW. He's in the Northwest as a lieutenant mm-hmm. now. Great dude. He took care of me. All I knew how to do was write drug reports from downtown. You know, he came through with that red pen. It was like, what?
Or highlight. But make it worse.
And then, one of these, one time, I swear to God, it was so many mistakes. He was like, yo, just rewrite this. He was like, come on, stop wasting my time. But it made me a better writer.
Yeah.
When I first got promoted and went down Central District, and I was looking at reports, I just threw the red pen away. I would just say, rip it up, rewrite it. They'd be looking like, what? And just from reading their report and how it was written, I sat there and told them how to write their report. This is what your report should say, not what you said. And they looking at me like, how you do that? It's learning how to write a report. I know how to write a report.
That's an art.
And I tell anybody, I ain't the best MF in the world, but I can write your ass under the table. Try me.
That's what I'm talking about. So what do you see for yourself? You say you're in your 15th year. You want to keep going up, or how you feel?
So, I'm on a lieutenant's list. I'm sitting number 10.
Congrats.
Right now. So, if I get promoted, then I'm going to ride lieutenant out to retire, because I don't want to go above.
No.
Being a captain and above, to me, is too political. And I know my mouth. I can't be one of them people. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And that's the issue with a lot of people. They want you to hold their hands and coddle them and tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. And I'm always a firm believer.
You're not cut from that cloth.
Right. Yeah, I'm not.
That's the problem with society overall.
I'm not. Right. I got to tell you the truth. Like, right. This is what it is. And it is what it is. I can be a little better with my delivery.
Right.
But it is what it is.
It is, right.
My grandmother says, say what you got to say and leave it alone. So, you know. But, so, if I make lieutenant, then I'm going to ride it out wherever they put me at and, you know, possibly move around at that.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't get promoted off this list, then I'm going to finish getting my bachelor's, which I'll be finished next summer. And then I'm going to go through nursing school and get my nursing degree.
Nice.
So when I retire, I'll be
in there. You got that second career.
Yeah.
Shout out to T-Bone for just got made lieutenant.
Yeah, wow.
You know what I'm talking about?
Adam. Congrats, y'all, man, sorry.
Yeah, I just found out before.
He's been here before, so.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
Shout out to him. We'll text him tonight. All right.
Yeah, he's right. In the Northwest midnight, I think.
I think so.
That's when he's stuck.
Yeah.
That's dope. So let me ask you, coming from Baltimore and moving up, if you were the top dog, if you were the commissioner, what things would you change? What would be the top three things you would change for our city to improve? If you had,
well, I'm a strong believer that if the head not right, the body won't follow.
Mm.
So, don't get me wrong, we have some great commanders. But I think we have some toxic ones. So I would have to start chopping some people off at the knees and putting people in the proper place. Because, like I said, we have some great commanders that have some great ideas that is known around the city, where the city listens to them and take their advice. But because you have other people that may outrank them, they want to do it their way, which is not the good way. I'm for community policing and getting to know your community. I'm all for that. I feel like patrol officers need to get out the cars and walk the blocks and get to know your neighborhood, because that's how you know your people. When I worked for 12 Post, I could tell you what was going on with who, whatever. Uh-huh. Prime example, I had a homicide on my post. And when homicide came up there, I said, it's one or two people that did it. And they say, how you knew this? And I said, I know my post. They his closest friends. He got killed in his house. I said, he ain't let nobody get close to him like that to come in his house. And it was one of them that did it.
Oh, that's dope.
All because they was out New Year's Eve and there was a fight at a club. And the one that did it got stabbed and thought he set him up. And he didn't. He was fighting. Like, he can't stop fighting because you got stabbed, because then he'd have got stabbed up. But I told them, like, that's one of them did it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were shocked that I knew that, but I was out of my car, and I knew my post, and I knew my people. The ironic thing is the guy that got killed a couple days before he got killed, I seen him, and I said, when you gonna get a street life up? And he was like, I ain't never giving this up. And I said, streets don't love you. It's always a bullet with your name on it. Mm-hmm. With your name on it. No, I'm untouchable. I'm Teflon Dawn. Ain't nothing gonna happen to me. 3 days later.
Gone.
We get a call. He in his bedroom. Dead. Shot. So, yeah. You know. Yeah. You got to get out the car and learn your post. But I also think that, and I'm not saying going back to how it used to be, like zero tolerance, but the department has to have some type of relationship with the state's attorney's office as well. And I think it's a disconnect there too. Because of things that has happened, a lot of us don't care for the state's attorney's office.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that's, you know, where you work at.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of us don't care for them because of things that have happened and what, you know, what has came out of their office. But I think if we want to really combat the crime and get a hold on it, we need to put some stuff back in place. Like, why is the power center closed? Y'all don't have these kids nowhere to go. Open back up the power centers. Give these kids something to do. Form different stuff for these kids, you know, just to do stuff. Like, reach out to the parents. It's parents out here that want their kids to strive and do good, but they don't have the resources. And I think as the police department, I always say we mother, father, sister, brother, social worker, teacher, mom, dad, grandparents, we're a little bit of everything. So if we're a little bit of everything, you have to start and get back with your community to find out what can we do to better help y'all. And I know a lot of people say, tell them stop stopping us or leave us alone. If you're not out here doing what you ain't supposed to do, we ain't gonna bother you. So but I do believe as the commissioner, I would start from the top, because you gotta start chopping people at their knees. And like, you're not what I'm looking for. I need to put somebody else there that's going to follow this vision of making sure Baltimore is straight. And
it's like when you I see these other industries, They hire you because you're good at that one thing, like what you're saying.
Right.
They don't hire, oh, because that's my man. Right. And then your man is over there doing nothing.
And that's the climate of this department. You do shootings. I'm a supervisor. But because you they man, oh, come on, you can come do this with me. But I may know what to do.
Right.
I would never come and say, oh, I want your spot because I know shootings. Okay, I know DDU, but I don't know shootings like that. I wasn't there long enough. I mean, when I was there, I did burglaries. I did a couple shooting cases with JD.
Mm-hmm.
But that was his cases.
Yeah.
I was just like rocking along with him to learn.
Right.
And he taught me a lot, but I would never come and say, I want his spot in shootings if I was, you know, a detective or officer. Right. But because I may be somebody's friend, they might give me your spot because I'm your friend. And I feel like they need to look at what people know and what they can do.
Right.
Versus they my friends, because then you put your friends there and your friends ain't doing what they supposed to do. But now you mad because they ain't doing what they supposed to do. But you put them there.
Right.
You can't get mad at nobody else.
Right. You should know that this is their ability. Oh, he's good at this. I'm going to put him there. She's good here. Boom.
Right. I look at people and I say, I know they can do this. Once I show them, I need them to do this. So I want them there. But if you don't know what you don't know, friend or not friend. No.
You'll be happy and sad to know they do that at every level.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah,
it's not just police.
Just got out a few meetings today where I was like, you don't know what you're doing.
It just shines on us a little bit more because, you know, our profession, what we do.
Yeah.
We're the hot button right now.
Right. For a while.
Been a while.
So, any close encounters when you was on the job and boy in the streets?
One time, me and my partner, I think it was PD, we went to a call for a family disturbance or something. Or the kid was an EP. He wasn't a kid. He was an adult. But he was having a behavioral crisis. And PD was trying to talk him down and talk to him. And the family was rowdy and going off and whatever. And they was just going crazy. And it's only us two in the house. And I'm on the radio like, we need more people here. And the family shut the door behind me. And I looked back. I said, oh, they didn't shut the door. I said, okay, here we go. And if anybody know PD.
You talking about our PD, right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. He a loose cannon.
Yeah.
Two Pisces in there. Oh,
right. And you know me, I'm quick.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking like it's two of us, about eight of them, and they didn't close the door. So I maneuvered my way through and put my back up against the door. By then, all of our backup was outside, but they couldn't get in because they had closed the door and locked it. I didn't know they locked the door, but they was trying to get in and they couldn't. So... Dosing, talking to him, episode 20, and you know, they still going hostile, and I said, okay, it's about to get real in here, and they start going off, and somebody, and a dude, I think he was maybe like 6 feet, and I wasn't no big person, I'm a female, and I'm like, I can hit him one good time,
mm-hmm.
but what, you know, he gonna tag me, uh-huh. and I had to withdraw on him. And I said, I don't want to do this, but it's either going to be me or you tonight. And you know, they teach us center mass, and I hate to say this, but I hate that thing at a headshot.
Yeah, the fatal T.
Yeah, tunnel vision. Yeah, fatal tunnel vision.
Because of how aggressive he was.
Yes, because he was coming. And he backed up. He said, oh, she crazy. Open this door. He said, oh, she crazy. Open this door. He opened the door, and everybody came in. And I said, Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that one.
I didn't know that either.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because you think about your kids. I got to get home.
Yeah, I'm like, listen.
I'm here to help you. Y'all want the beef.
I'm like, look, y'all called us because he going off on y'all. And y'all mad at us because we trying to calm him down.
Right.
And, you know, Dosing had to, like, grab him. But he wasn't hurting him.
Yeah.
And I know how Dosing could be. He wasn't hurting him. He was, like, trying to calm him down. They mad at us. Like, come on now. Come on. Come on. No.
They locked the door. Yo, what
is he shut the door. Locked the door.
You woke him up.
Up now.
They you woke him up. Door. I said, wait a minute. Okay. He said, oh, she crazy. Open that door.
He said, oh. Okay. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. I was just joking.
I was fucking with you.
Yeah. I told you. I thought I was going to get her little ass. No, right. She shocked me. Hold up.
It's so, a lot of lad babies. Look, I'm from Baltimore City. It's a lot of lad babies in Baltimore City. What is wrong with y'all? I'm serious, bro. Like, listen, I'm... No, not y'all.
The
citizens of Baltimore City. I'm from Baltimore, Westport. Y'all know that. Dog, I'm not... Y'all are trained to do what you do. Period. Even if you're not at the high end of 100%, you're still better than most of the people.
It's like Bruce Lee, right? Like Bruce Lee always said.
Right. I'm not locking no doors. I'm not doing none of that.
Bruce Lee will never walk around and look for trouble.
I always look at it like when they told us in the academy, just remember every scene you go to, it's a gun in, it's your gun. And that's how I always look at it.
But we're trained at violence.
Yes.
And it's like we don't want to, we always show up. We're not trying to hurt nobody. We just want to really get in there and get out.
Yeah, but somebody, how can I help you? Lock a door, like
you lock a door. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh, you done took it to another level.
Right, you done backed me.
Like
into
I wasn't
corner.
Even here for that.
I have to do.
I'm not even here for that.
Like, you want to fight? Okay. No, we not fighting today. No.
You want to know how swift her temperament is, whereas another officer could have incapacitated that individual.
Yeah.
And she took her time, pulled out her service weapon, mm-hmm. and explained to him, listen, I don't want to do this to you. Mm. But if you don't stop right fucking there, it's going to be over for you.
Yeah.
And you know what that is? That's calculated, cold-blooded.
Mm. And that's looking at the threat. Like, listen, I'm not fucking with you.
Like, at that very moment, mm. she's still trying to reason with you.
Absolutely. Mm.
Like,
and she's a female.
Don't want that.
Right.
So she could have.
Right.
And been justifiable in doing that.
Right. Yeah, he was right. big. Did it. He was right. big.
Yeah.
Right. Hell yeah. Right.
The fuck she like wrestling with a 6 foot big nuts? No. Yeah.
And then, God forbid, he takes the gun. It's a mess. Right. It's a mess. Right. It could have got real ugly.
It could have got bad for me and Dosing.
Right.
Because Dosing was dealing with the EP, which his back was to me.
Right.
So I was pretty much his.
Right.
You know,
last I was probably defense. In there yelling, fussing and everything, and you locked in.
But here's the thing. Dosing's dealing with the individual. Mm-hmm. She's got to deal with one of the family members on top of 6 other family members talking shit.
Right.
So her temperament was perfect and ideal for that situation. Mm-hmm. That's what separates city work versus other jurisdictions. Just putting it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, we real about our shit. When you do the job the way it's supposed to be done, you got the right temperament for it.
That's a great point. The fact that the 6 people are also talking to you while the big threat, the way you play that, like, if another person says something, you have to address that person. So she's having 6 different conversations on top of watching the threat.
Right.
Because God forbid you don't answer one of them, now you got 2 people threatening you.
Right.
Oh, you don't want to talk to me? Oh, why you ignoring me?
Right.
So she's answering all their questions because they talk at the same time.
And still calling in for backup.
Still calling in for backup.
Noticing the doors closed. Oh, so now these motherfuckers want to keep us in here.
Paying attention to Doe.
Right.
But still watching the threat.
Do you not know how many she had to deal with?
Yo, and I remember what y'all were saying. Every time y'all discharge, y'all got to write for that. So you can't, every bullet got to, I mean, hate to say
it. You got to mean something.
And on top of that, you in a house where you don't know where the kitchen is. You don't know who in the back passing knives.
Right. You don't know nothing.
Right, so many things coming in.
That's why when I say, when we go to these calls, we're facing the unknown. That's the scary part to this job.
And we still do it.
But that's the bad thing with the newer generation coming in versus us. The newer generation go to these calls and they think it's a joke.
Like,
no, pay attention to what you're doing. Like, do you not realize this can go south?
Right.
Really quick.
And that wasn't like your last call. That was probably one of many.
No, that was not my last call for all night.
Right. You know how many calls collectively we've been to where we would have been justified in causing bodily harm or going hands-on and then going left?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But due to our temperament, how we conduct ourselves, we lowered that down.
Mm-hmm.
took it from a 10 to a 5, mm-hmm. explained to them what the situation really was so that they can mm-hmm. understand it, probably 4 or 5 times till they fully understand it, mm-hmm. and then we left.
And then you got to go on
to the next one. Right.
But you know what's crazy? To add to that, that's what's not shown on the TV. Right. But to us, what he said, the temperament of, like, I could possibly kill this person, what she did, and the fact that she kind of, like, diffused the situation and everybody went home safe, that's where it's sexy. Mm-hmm. It's not sexy killing somebody. Mm-hmm. Nobody, right. That's not sexy. Sexy is being able to diffuse the situation with this, mm-hmm. with your mind, and everybody goes home. But that's not sexy to the TV.
To the media. Right.
To the media.
Everybody right. look at it like, oh, I'm going to be the police. And I, you know, people don't realize we have the right to, we can take your freedom. Mm-hmm. We can let you keep your freedom. We can let you keep your life. We can take your life. Taking somebody's life. I've never taken somebody's life, but I've seen people die. That shit stays with you.
Yeah.
I don't want that on my conscience that I had to take somebody's life. Now, but God forbid, if it happened, I hope it never happens. But if it comes down to the point where I'm in that situation where either I got to protect myself or somebody else because that's what I'm hired to do, then I have to do what I have to do. But nobody sets out to become a police officer to say, oh, I'm going to go out here and kill somebody. And that's what the TV portray us as. It's people that want to come out here and kill somebody. No, stuff get out of hand. Whereas though, officers have killed people where they was wrong. Let's call a spade a spade. They were wrong. It didn't have to go the way it did. But sometimes it's just too far gone and it ain't no bringing it back. You have to do.
You know, over time.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. But we get so demonized to say, oh, they just killing us. Y'all killing yourself.
Right. First and foremost.
Because you want to hoop and holler about an officer shooting. And I'm going to just put it out there, a black man. But you ain't saying I'm about that black man that's killing that black man.
Facts.
Every day in Baltimore, it's a black male deceased. And now it's females.
Oh, my God.
When I was growing up, females ain't get caught up in none of that bull crap. We was too pretty. We was pretty girls. We ain't had time for that. We wanted you to look at us, switch our little non-asses. We ain't had time for all of that getting caught up where we getting killed and stuff.
They're being
but executed now they now. Get yes, they getting executed.
Like shots in the head.
Yes. Like what
is, you're like, what?
But
like,
where is the outcry and the riots and the protests about that? Because the same person that's sitting upstairs saying, they killed my son, but you know your son and killed somebody else's son and you ain't saying nothing. So let's call a spade a spade. Because I'd be damned if I know my son out here doing some dirt and then kill somebody, boo, you going to jail, because I'm telling.
Yeah.
I'm telling, and I'm telling for your own good, because that person you killed got family members. They going to come back for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If family members don't come back for you, the friends going to come back, because the street, the police may not know who done it, but the streets talk.
100%.
Immediately.
Yeah. And somebody know. And I guarantee you, now, don't get me wrong, it's some people out here that has been killed that was innocently killed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you look that's at a lot of percent. If it's you look at a lot percent. Of people that's been killed, they've got a long rap sheet. Yep.
They were in the mix.
And I'm not saying they deserved it, because I don't feel like nobody deserved to lose their life.
I agree.
But come on, karma comes back around.
Say it again.
Comes tenfold.
I've had them conversations with people being on the side of being a commissioner. And I told people, most of the people that are getting arrested, even in our city, this ain't like their first or second rodeo.
Right.
It's like their 10th or 11th.
Right.
So it's the same people getting killed, or like you say, getting arrested over and over and over.
Right. So yeah. when are the parents or family going to say, yo, you need to stop. Like, you're wrong. Right. Like, what is going on with you?
Accountability.
Yeah. It's none, but they quick to
point it off on police.
Yeah. Where the police was at?
Where was that when they killed my cousin? All
right.
Where was you at? Why wasn't you here? Uh-huh. But you just told me the other day, fuck me.
Right.
But yeah. Now you want me here. I don't understand. I don't understand the mentality. Because when I was growing up, you didn't disrespect police. You just didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't.
You didn't want them problems.
Yeah, you didn't want the problems because you had to deal with your parents. Why are you disrespecting the police? But now you got the parents telling the little kids to disrespect the police.
Absolutely.
Oh, Eva, what else irritates me is when you see a parent with a child, when you're talking to the child, and the parent say, yeah, you do bad, the police going to lock you up. Yep. Or don't make me call the police on you. Stop doing that, parents.
That's where it starts.
Stop. Because you make these kids afraid to come talk to us. Your child come up missing and we stop them and they scared to talk to us because you told them we going to lock them up. Stop doing that.
Right.
I'm not locking your child up. Stop telling them that. Just stop it.
Well, I remember we'd be giving kids like ice cream dollars.
Yeah, we did too.
And they'd be like, yeah, you know, they don't do that. And I'm like, everything I'm trying to like to build that rapport, you just knocked it down.
You're crushing it right now.
I think it was kind of easier for me when I bought kids ice creams around in the Northeast because, of course, I grew up there. So a lot of them knew me and knew who I was. So it was kind of easy for me to get kids ice creams and stuff. But I did have a couple parents say, "Don't you ain't got to buy my kid." And I thought, oh, wow, all other kids got one. Right. Like what do you want your kids to grow up to understand?
What point are you trying to prove right now?
Yes.
And it's not like you're buying them an ice cream right now. So I'm helping you out.
And all of that, with parents say, oh, I ain't got this, or I can't do this, or I'm struggling. Listen, take it from me. Like I said, I had my oldest at 16, my next at 18, my other one at 21. I struggled raising three kids. I did not have the best of jobs. Trust me when I said I had social service. I raised three kids in Baltimore City, in the Northeast, then in the Eastern at North Avenue and Greenmount. I have three college graduates. So don't ever say you can't do it, because you can do it. It's just a mindset, because I made my kids understand that education was important. My kids may not have the best of what they wanted when they were growing up, but they ain't never want for nothing. So when people sit around and say they can't, they ain't got this, they ain't got that, it's your mindset. You can have anything you want if you put your mind to it.
Well said.
So
it work.
You can raise your kids and your kids can turn out to be good no matter what your situation is, no matter what.
I agree.
And when I tell you my kids graduated, they graduated from good schools. Hopkins. Virginia Union. So you can do good with your kids. Just stop saying you can't. You can.
Get your ass up.
Stop telling your kids that they can't be police officers and all this other stuff. The average to live at a household median in the United States of America for one person, $75,000. You cannot name a job in Baltimore City besides military, police, firefighter. Other than that, all the other jobs coming from Baltimore City, if you go downtown, most of the people are transplants. They're not from here. So $75,000, if you're from Baltimore and you don't have this, you don't have that, you know, ABC, yo, go grind. Even if you become a like sanitation or something, you got to put a lot of work in to get to $75,000. You know what I'm saying? For y'all coming out, like for coming fresh out the academy, what is it like? I think it's 45 or 50.
It's 56 now.
And then you can make overtime like immediately because of, you know what I'm saying, because there's a shortage of police officers. So we had young officers in here on the show. They're living their best life.
And yeah, you're more than halfway there to 75.
Yeah. You can make some good money.
Make some money.
Learn some shit.
It's all up to you.
Yeah. Learn so much. Deal with a lot of good people.
Told you people. Y'all ain't, look, we grew up in and around the 80s. So I told people, the average hustlers don't make that money. You dumb if you telling me you do.
Yeah. Back when we was growing up.
Thank you.
Them hustlers made money.
Hand over. They made money.
The way it was.
But now they ain't making that money.
I swear to God, if you're a drug dealer right now, you're
done.
Like on the lower street level,
maybe you're stupid.
You're wasting your time.
You're stupid. You
really are. Yeah,
you making money for the person that's sitting at home.
Because everybody knows the cartels are running everything.
Yeah. Right. So you ain't you. So I mean, what you getting?
Yeah.
What you want to pay a tennis shoes? Okay. All right. You
could work at McDonald's and make more.
Yeah.
And not worry about somebody trying to kill you.
The manager at McDonald's makes six figures.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do.
No, yo, employees at McDonald's, they start off at like $15, $16
Yes. An hour. Were you with me that night? That one time there was a, what's that school homecoming? Your school. You guys do the homecoming? Y'all take the whole parking lot and
Morgan.
It was a Morgan homecoming. Mm-hmm. I ended up having an amazing conversation with this beautiful, like beautiful black woman. Hops out the Benz, everything. She owned 3 McDonald's. Mm. She was like, yes. And you could just tell. And I'm like, wow, like you own a McDonald's? And I'm like, that's the type of stuff that's out here. But you'd rather pick up and sell drugs? Right. You know what I'm saying?
It's a mindset, bro.
It's a mindset.
Yeah, and because you become police and they feel like you're a sellout, you're Uncle Tom. No, I'm not a sellout.
We were just talking about that.
I'm not a sellout. I'm not a sellout and I'm not Uncle Tom.
Family member don't even talk to you no more.
Yeah. Spanish every day.
I just chose this profession. That's it.
Right.
I'm protecting this community.
I'm protecting you.
Right.
How about it?
Right.
So either act right or try these flex cuffs on.
Right. So these metal links.
How about that?
Clank, clank.
Right.
Because I used to work in corrections, so I know how to close a cell, too. So, come on, bring it on. Which one you want? You want me to ride you down there and close you with that cell?
Right.
Shit. So, yeah, but...
Yo, true fact about prisons, I didn't know, and I'm sure you know this. All the sounds sound the same when all them doors close.
Yeah.
They said it's mentally to kind of mess with people to not to come back. Because I was like, why do all the doors, it has that same everywhere across the United States. Plank. I don't care where it is. They said, we design them that way. I said, whoa. He was like, because you don't want to hear that sound.
Because you don't want to hear it. Isn't that sound? Damn. Yeah.
That's the last thing you hear when you're inside that motherfucker.
Yeah. Every day.
As soon as they close the cell on you, your mind should be set that I ain't coming back here because I can't even come out when I want to.
Yeah. Exactly.
Word.
Because as they call us the turnkey, we hold the keys.
Yeah.
And if we say you ain't coming out, you ain't coming out. Because this has been a many plenty days. I told my section, y'all is locked a down. Mm. Y'all ain't coming out.
Wait, so how long you did that for?
4 years.
Wow.
4 years.
He in the city?
Mm-hmm. City jail.
That's crazy.
City jail. F section.
Them ladies over there, they be holding it down.
Yeah.
You have a conversation with them, they so sharp with it. Mm.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I fucks with them.
Yeah,
I work overtime sometime there, being the liaison down there.
They so funny.
Oh, they be getting it in. They made some motherfucker. It was like four females. Yeah. It was like dudes. Get his leg, boom, 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 boom. I said, damn.
Yeah, dude. I was on that.
Getting mace all over they shirts and shit.
What years were you down there?
2004.
Yeah. 2004. Yeah, it didn't work a few times, bro. I was. Be up in there. Listen, when the commission was in there too, we was on up. When the ad stopped working, it don't just work. Stop working for them. It stopped working for everybody.
Yeah.
When they lock it down, nobody leaves. You can't even get to your car.
And during 2004, that's when zero tolerance was popping. So you was busy. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, sis.
I started that first because I said if I can work with them fools in the inside, I can be the police.
Yeah, you ain't never lie.
So I actually went there when my daughter first went to high school. When she went to the 9th grade, I went to correction. And then when she was graduating from the 12th, that's when I came over to the police department. Because my oldest daughter always made the promise, if something happened to you, I'm going to make sure my brothers and sisters is good. And she still holds true to that. Even though they all grown.
So you was in CBIF?
No, I was in city jail. I was in city jail. I was in the rough of the rough.
Yeah,
on the men's side, yeah. Because I couldn't work the women's side. I couldn't work that. This fishbowl. I couldn't do that. I couldn't work the fishbowl. I was on F section. I remember when I was on a tech team in the jail. And I remember they had locked the jail down. And we was like, everybody got locked in. And they had put me down on J section and locked them in. And this guy kept getting smart with me. He kept calling me all types of bitches. And I don't get offended when somebody called me a bitch. But you call me one too many bitches, I'm tired. So he getting smart. You gonna let me out this fucking cell, bitch? I'ma fuck you out when you let me out. I said, really? Hold that thought. I told my working man, I said, go in the rec area. And they was like, but Brown, we got finished cleaning up. I said, go in the rec area and sit there and don't come out. And my homegirl, she was on the tech team with me. And I called my tech team commander. And I told him what happened. And I said, send me 5 girls down here. I said, I don't want no men. He was like, you don't want no men? No, I don't want no men. 5 girls. They got down there. I said, I'm going to pop his cell. I'm going to tell him we got to take him up to medical. We're going to take him in the other rec room. Because in the jail, they got 2 sides. So each side has a rec room. Uh-huh. So I had my working men on one side. And I put him in the rec room on the other side. So I yelled down there and I say, so-and-so, medical wants you. I'm getting ready to open up your cell. Come on out. So he said, I ain't going back in this bitch either because I'm going to do what I want to do. Come on out. So he come out. I said, go in the rec room and wait for me. He go in the rec room. The 5 girls standing there. So he like, what the hell? What the hell going on? I go in there. I shut the rec room. I said, what you say you going to do to me? And he said, I said, I ain't going back in there. And if you put me back in there, we going to be fighting. And before I know it, I bust his lip. Bow! I hit him right in his mouth. And I ain't hit him with my fist. I took my radio and cracked his mouth open. And my working man was like, yo, Brown crazy. I said, you going back in your cell? He said, yes, ma'am.
And yo, certain people understand that.
Yes, ma'am.
Certain people need that. A lot of people don't understand. Could you please go in your cell?
I love my era, bro.
Listen,
but
they need that.
The crazy thing is, everybody kept telling him, dude, like, she not one of the ones you can play with. Like, she nice, but listen to what she's saying. He wouldn't shut up. And I just was like, okay, I'm tired of being your bitch today. Let me show you who this bitch is. Let me show you. Since you want that wreck, I'm going to give it to you. And we wore his ass out. Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Me and them 5 girls wore his ass out. Yeah. So I felt like if I can deal with being locked in with them, because when, like, people call out and don't come to work and we get drafted. Or you may not get drafted. But at the jail, people call out and they ain't got nobody to work, you ain't going home. You locked in. And they don't open up the doors for you. So you locked in with them.
This is true.
So I felt like if I can stay...
They won't open the doors.
So I feel like if I can stay locked in, I could go out on the street. And the ironic thing is, when I first got out on the street, I seen somebody that was in my section in jail. And when he seen me, he said, I knew you was the damn police. I knew it. And I was like, I wasn't the police and I was a CO. And he was like, no, you was the police. He was like, you just could sniff stuff out. You knew when people was bringing stuff on the section. Yeah, because I know my section.
Right.
I know how people act. You got to understand body language. If I got a working man and he usually come in and he full of life and, hey, Officer Brown, how you doing? But this day he coming in and he won't go straight to himself. No, let me shake you down. What you got? What you got? And he had cigarettes all on him. He said, if you take it, they going to kill me. I guess you're going to get flown up out of here tonight because I'm taking this.
I need that.
Yeah, give me them cigarettes. And I don't even smoke, but give them to you. All them Newports was gone. He was sad. He was like, I want to check in. Okay, that's what your solitary confinement. It is what it is.
It's what your ass is.
Shout out to all those COs doing the job. That's a hard job.
Yes, shout out to my bestie. Cause she just got promoted to captain.
Congratulations. Down there,
so shout out to her.
Any other shout outs you want to give?
Before
we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, shout out to y'all for having me on here. I really appreciate it. I got to come back.
Nah, you got to come back. I'm glad you came. Definitely.
I had a good time.
Awesome.
Shout out to our boy Chandler. You know that. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, man.
And his kids. And, you know, just shout out to our whole Northeast District. I can say his name, Dosing. I can say Bennett because he was here too.
Yeah.
I can say all of them. So all shout out to them. They my brothers. Y'all my brothers.
Mothers.
You know, I love y'all.
Love you more.
The only one that hasn't been here is JD. The one that you mentioned.
And we all know him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he be playing games.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's up.
No, I don't listen to
that. Yeah, you know what
you mean. That jive turkey.
Yeah, it was my first one.
That jive turkey. Don't listen to him.
He got to be a part of this stuff.
Yeah. He will. We'll get him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a couple people y'all got to get on here. Y'all, yeah.
Hell yeah. All right. Dre, what you got?
Peace and love.
Triple C.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
All right, everybody. It's episode 94. We appreciate you. I want to thank my sister for coming in. She's amazing. She taught us. She groomed us. And that's why we brought this platform to you guys. We're the real ones. We're honest. And we're here for the people. So
continue. Stay safe. Stay blessed. We love y'all. Episode 94. Be easy.
Be easy.
The views and opinions expressed on the Silverback Podcast are those of the hosts, producers, and or the persons appearing on the program, and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the federal, state, or local government. This includes, but not exclusive to, the Department of Defense and or the Baltimore City Police Department.